Welcome to the first episode of the 406MX podcast of 2024. I have a special episode tonight with two good friends of mine. One's kind of a family member these days. We'll chat with him about that. But we're going to talk Supercross 2024. We're less than 24 hours away from probably the most exciting, exhilarating sport in the world. It's all indoors. For the most part, other than one race this year. But let's get these guys on the line. Branson, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Chris, are you there also?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Cool. Well, if you don't know these guys, the first one is Branson Frost, and then the other one was Chris Soapjazz, both good friends of mine. They both race cross countries and stuff like that with me. It's a lot of fun. Really got to know these guys well. So let's get right to it. So Branson, why do you like Supercross?
It's just fun to watch, you know? It's intense. I don't know about you guys, but I sit here and my heart gets racing and almost like I'm on the line, but obviously I have nowhere near the skill level. But it's fun to watch and just a thrill, you know.
It's a completely different dynamic than outdoors, especially on TV. So Branson, I went to the motocross this year in Thunder Valley, and I really enjoy both of them live. Outdoors is completely different than Supercross. Really can't even compare the two. But I would rather watch Supercross on TV because it's short pace, shorter races. It's interface kind of a deal. But Chris, I'm going to ask you the same question. Why do you like Supercross?
I'm watching these guys, the intensity they bring and just the skill level of some of these dudes. They're fast and they're damn good riders. It's just excitement through and through from the beginning to the end. The 250 guys, 450 guys, it's really fascinating to watch.
And exactly, and the skill level that Supercross brings to be fast at it is insane. And you know, the one really cool, what I like about Supercross is it's so close together, and the bowl turns make for more like of an action-packed contact sport almost. Where other than some other motorsports, it's all about more technique and than it is kind of powering through. Well, this sport kind of uses both, in my opinion. You have to be super technical to make things happen. So that's what I like about it, is how technical these guys are.
It's definitely, sorry, didn't mean to budge in there, but it's definitely interesting to see, especially go from West Coast to East Coast, how the tracks change and just how different guys can step up and push different.
And when saying that, how the tracks change, for the most part, for the top guys, it doesn't even look like it's changed at all. They're just as fast or even faster. It's absolutely insane what these guys do.
Exactly. And you get the different dirt types and, you know, everyone's got their specialty, so you might have a sandier track or a more dry rutted track or blue group, and you know, like I said, some guys that fit different.
Yeah, and the tomorrow's race is one of those races that it is that hard pack blue groove. They did get some rain this week, but it looks good. They just actually got done with press probably about an hour and a half ago. But yeah, so I'm going to ask Chris this one first. Who's your favorite rider? Because honestly, I'm not sure if I know who your favorite rider is.
It changes. for an underdog rider, you know, I'm definitely a Mookie fan. He shows a lot of promise. He's very strong. He's fast. Last year he kind of got screwed with that knee injury, but he's coming in strong. But probably my top guy right now would probably be Eli. I'm definitely curious to see how he's going to come back and see if he's just going to go right back to where he was, you know, right before he messed up his Achilles.
Which is that Achilles injury I always thought would be a career ender. And I've seen more Achilles injuries in this. There's multiple in this sport, but also in other sports as well. I'm really excited to see what he does and how he reacts to over jumping anything. So it's what he does on the track. I think it's going to be really interesting. I think we're going to see a new Eli, but also a better Eli this year.
Definitely. And I was in Denver last year when it happened, and just when I saw that happen, and my heart sank for the guy. Like, that is just a bummer. You know, and then looking into like what actually happened and the injury, you know, I thought he was done. I was super shocked to see that he was coming back, and I'm really excited.
I really thought he was going to ride into the sunset.
Absolutely.
Well, Branson, I'm going to ask you who your favorite rider is, but I'm also going to call you the Christian Craig super fan. So without giving it away, who's your favorite rider?
Yeah, without giving it away. So I'm a Craig fan, you know. I just, what the guy brings to the table. And, you know, to be honest, his years on Geico, I didn't know too much about him. You know, I don't know if a lot of people did. You know, he had that one win in Phoenix, I believe, in 2016, maybe. But yeah, once he got on Star and kind of seemed like it opened up his potential, and he sort of figured it out on and off the track. And yeah, I'm just a big Craig fan. He's a family guy, you know, and seems really humble and down to earth. So yeah, big Craig fan. And you know, I know he's not going to go out there and win the title more than likely or shock the world, but just love to watch the guy ride. And you guys were kind of talking about East West Coast tracks and whatnot. The technical abilities of these guys. You know, I think watching Craig, he's super technical on the bike and much of a bulldog as, I guess, Eli in the 450 class or RJ in the 250 class or maybe McAdoo as well. You know, a really technical rider, and I think you see that, and more so on the West Coast. I think on the East Coast, he isn't quite as strong, but he's still a top rider, I think, along with everybody else out there. But yeah, Craig fan through and through.
So I'm actually one that followed Craig when he was on Geico, because I've really liked the Geico team from back when. So I actually really followed them, and it was really interesting. California kid, so it's probably why that he does better on the West Coast than the East Coast tracks, because he grew up riding on the hard packed California. But the team that he started on, that when he started getting bigger, he was teammates with RJ. He was teammates with Jet. He was right around the same time frame as Trey Kennard. And Trey's probably one of my all-time favorites. That's kind of why I enjoyed the Geico team and followed him. So he's definitely improved so much. And when he hit that Yamaha Blue Crew Bike of the Year, you know, it lost words with how much he improved. And but yeah, so would you consider him your all-time favorite rider? Who else do you root for, like one of the underdogs? And I know Christian kind of falls in that, but at the same time he kind of doesn't either.
Yeah, for sure. And I will say, you said all-time favorite, I'd have to say Dungy is my all-time favorite, just because growing up, that's kind of who I first really rooted for and whatnot. So going to throw that out there. But, yeah, you know, Christian probably slight underdog, slightly not, you know. He does have that 250 championship. But I'd say another underdog, again, probably not quite an underdog, but Adam Ciancerullo, just because he's been hurt so often these past few years, you know, and I don't feel like he's necessarily on the radar just because everybody expects him to get hurt again. But same thing, I really like AC's personality and just seems like a good guy. So I'm really rooting for him. I think if he can put it together, it'd be awesome.
Absolutely. I want to throw one more Christian Craig thing at you. Have you seen the gear that he's wearing tomorrow?
Yeah, it's he's a one piece.
He's wearing a onesie, bro. Onesie. Did you see that, Chris, yet?
I did. You got to step in through the neck. I don't know how I feel about that.
just like a, it's a, I was reading something. It's like a wetsuit, but it's made by the both motocross fabrics and stuff. I heard about it the other day, and I finally saw the picture a little bit ago. I'm like, good Lord.
Yeah, it's just, nah.
I don't know if you'll catch me in a one piece.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, because I saw a picture of it today, too, and the comments, and I think I heard on Pulp, too, a while back, or a few weeks anyways, that how do you pee? How do you go to the bathroom in it, you know?
Yeah, it's
you won't catch me wearing it.
But yeah, so I just had to make sure you knew that. So the very first thing we're going to talk about is a 450 class. That's kind of what we've started with here. New year, new rides. This is kind of, it's big in both classes, but I've never seen this many big names with new rides this year. And I'm kind of going to go through these first few and see what you think. And I did save one for last. So I don't think I missed him. But we're going to start with Cooper Webb on the Star Racing Yamaha. I know we saw him at SMX, but I really didn't count that, because of how it went, how the series went, and it was new and he didn't have much time on it. But yeah, what do you guys think about Cooper Webb going back to Yamaha, but back to the team that he, when it came into his pro, career with?
Go for it. Well, yeah, going back to the SMX thing, you know, those being not really a supercross or a national track, it was one of those hybrids. You know, everybody was struggling with bike setup, and especially Webb just jumping into it right then and there. I think going into supercross, he might be a little bit more comfortable, because I can't remember if he had a title on Star or not, but you know, he was super fast and comfortable on it back then. And, you know, going into supercross, I feel like he's going to be strong, but it's going to be kind of slow, you know, kind of getting into the rhythm of things.
Yeah, I agree with that. But at the same time, Cooper Webb's a gamer. He's more of a racer. He does so well when he gets in the race situations. I'm really curious what he's going to do. I kind of have him coming into the top five tomorrow, just because it's just so, I just don't really see it happening any worse than that. But at the same time, we're stacked. So Branson, what do you think about Cooper Webb?
Yeah, so I agree pretty much with what Chris was saying. I think going back to that team, hopefully he's comfortable on it. You know, I don't think it's any secret that KTM and him weren't jiving, and it was time for a change. So I'm excited for him. I think it'll be good. I agree with Chris. I don't expect him to come out and win tomorrow. I don't. I definitely could see a top five, like you said, Brendan, but I don't expect him to win. I think he'll take a few rounds to really get going.
That's his whole career.
And I feel like the same thing I said earlier with the different track conditions. You know, once they get through the first few west rounds, you know, he's going to be kind of slow. But once they hit those east tracks, that east coast, for some reason, for Webb, something clicks and he's just on it. So I feel like once they go east, he's going to be back to Webb fight power. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I agree with everything there. And it's no – I'm not quiet about it. I love Cooper Webb. He's probably my favorite. And I'm kind of with Chris. I kind of rotate here and there to my favorite riders. And I usually rotate to the riders that are riding the same color bike as I am. For some reason, I just gravitate towards those guys. But the next one that I'm really curious about as a factory rider going to not a factory team, Dylan Ferrandis. Blanking here. Which team did he go to?
Honda.
Phoenix Honda. Yep. With Eller. That's the owner's last name. I'm really excited for him. I have high expectations if he can stay healthy, only because he really wanted to get on a Honda and he did absolutely everything he could to be on a Honda. So I think that's when you're having that mindset and you get what you want, I really think that does well for the psyche, for a rider. What do you think about Dylan?
Yeah, so I agree with you. I was shocked by the move, to be honest with you. Again, it wasn't a secret. He wasn't staying with Star Yamaha, and there's talks of Hep Suzuki being in the mix. I didn't really hear of any other teams, and he joked around the idea of retiring, which I didn't think he was going to, you know, mind you. But yeah, it's an interesting move. Like you said, he's wanted to be on Honda, and he got that, and he got that factory connection set up as well. And it sounds like that was a big game changer for him too. So we'll have to see. I do think he puts it together. Again, I think it'll take a couple of rounds, but I do think he puts it together. It'll just be interesting to see if that team can kind of handle that pressure, I guess. I've heard Dylan can be kind of hard to work with, so it'll be interesting to see what resources they can pull together and give Dylan to do his best. But yeah,
I agree. Do you have anything to add to that one, Chris?
I don't really follow Dylan that much, and I don't know much about him. You know, like Ransom said, the team switched. That might be a big game changer from him. You know, we won't really know until we see it. But, you know, him growing up where he did in France and racing the GPs over there and everything, I feel like he's more stronger in the outdoor scene than Supercross. But, you know, Supercross coming in, he was pretty strong. So, you know, I don't really want to set high expectations for him, but we just got to wait and see.
Perfect. And we'll move on to the next guy, Chris. This is a brand new team, brand new bike manufacturer, Benny the Giraffe Bloss, riding for the Beta Factory Racing team. I'm really excited to see what they do here. He rode two strokes all summer long. Didn't really have a bike that four stroke. I really think they're going to be a little bit behind the eight ball to start. I wouldn't say that he signed a multi-year contract, which is good. I don't see him doing a whole lot this season, but I hope I'm wrong. But because I really love Benny, he's a good dude. But Chris, what do you think of him switching to a brand new manufacturer?
I just got to start. Those Betas look damn good.
Oh yeah.
They look damn good, but you know, he's a taller, lengthier guy, and I'm pretty tall myself, so I get it. But you know, a completely new manufacturer coming into a series that's so strong with, you know, all these Japanese brands. You know, he might do good. He might fall behind a little bit. I really don't know a whole lot to go off of, but like you said, the off season, he rode a lot of two strokes, and compared to the four stroke 450s, there's a huge difference there. And, you know, depending on how much time he's gotten on the new 450, you know, that might be a change for him, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
But he is one that has switched bike manufacturers so much from the Japanese brands that he might just hop on that thing and be right at home. Get some suspension changes. I know the bike, he said the bike was slow a little bit, but it sounds like they're working on that overseas. But yeah, Branson, do you have anything to add about the Beta manufacturer or Benny?
Yeah, like kind of piggybacking on what Chris was saying, I agree. The bikes look, they do look really good. You know, the three of us kind of have that cross country off road background, so it's cool to see him get into the super cross and motocross kind of world of things over here. It'll be interesting to see. You know, I think Benny's goals obviously are going to be main events. I can't put a placement in the main on it though. You know, they say it every year, but this year it does really seem like a deep field. So I think if he consistently is making mains, I think that's going to be a good start. And it'll be interesting to see how the team is, like you guys were kind of saying, but you know, that team is kind of, I don't want to say well known, but you know, they've been doing off road, and so they have that racing background and how to be a team. So it's not like it's completely fresh new startup team as far as that goes. So handling adversity and stuff, I think they'll be able to do. It's just a matter of how well with it being a new type of racing. You know, it's not that GNCC, it's not the hard enduros. So we'll just have to see. You know, I think they're going to be behind the eight ball a little bit coming in, and I just hope they can get on top of it the rest of the season and not just stay behind, you know. So we'll have to see.
Perfect.
Going off what you're saying like that, you also got to take in consideration Triumph as a new team too, but they have no off-road background whatsoever. So I feel like that beta is going to be a little bit more well off. But I don't know. We'll just have to see.
We'll talk about Triumph a little bit more when we do this again when the 250 East comes around. But I will say, add one thing about Triumph about having no background at all. It's crazy. It's this manufacturer did a 450 only, the beta did, and then Triumph only did a 250. So weird how they went so opposite directions. Yeah, that's crazy. But I saved the best for last, the guy that I want to win the championship this year, switched brands. He's your reigning, defending, undisputed champion of the world Supercross, AMA Monster Energy Supercross, Chase Sexton. Switching from factory Honda to factory KTM, I really want him to do well. I hope that he can get this KTM to turn and go through the whoops well, and prevent that wheel tucking. But Branson, what do you think about Chase switching even after winning a championship? I know it kind of fell into his hands, but you have to be there until the end. So he's no asterisk. He's still our champion. What do you think of him switching?
Yeah, as you said, no asterisk, you know, you have to be there till the end, but definitely got a little lucky with it, you know. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. You know, as others have said, it's kind of a sideways move going from factory Honda to factory KTM. I just, as you mentioned, I hope it works out for him. You know, Chase seems like a solid dude, and a lot of people talk a lot of crap about him and his Honda. How he was on the Honda and just the multiple crashes, you know, and whether that was mental, whether it was the bike, maybe KTM, maybe being on the KTM will kind of answer that for us, you know. But I hope he does good, even just for the sense of the series, you know, just keep that competition there and have all the good guys kind of up front running and not falling down, you know. So we'll have to see, you know. KTM's proven race winning machine, you know, not too much lately, but they'll be there. They're always there every year. So yeah, we'll just have to see.
And one thing I'll add is he is not training with Alden Baker, which is a little weird for the KTM stuff. But I think he'll do good. Chris, do you want to add anything about Chase Sexton?
He's definitely a strong competitor, that's for sure. He brings a lot to the table. You know, the team switch was kind of a shock to me. And I kind of feel like the whole wheel tucking thing is kind of a mental game on his part. I mean, yeah, it happens, but to him, it seems like it happened more often than none. You know, watching Jet ride the Honda, he never really had an issue like that. So I don't know, him coming to a new team, different chassis, different frame, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting to see. I feel like he's going to be towards the front, probably not winning the championship again, but he'll
you
definitely
take that
be
back.
One of the front runners.
You take that back.
I know my mom would come and kill me for saying that.
I'm going to tell her.
You know, but you know, last year Eli stuck it to him and he got lucky, you know, with Eli going out with injury, but you know, he rode strong. He stayed in it. And he definitely finished where he needed to.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to cut you off there because you said that he's not going to win you don't think he's going to win the championship. You could have kept no. that comment to yourself. But, we're just going to move on to talk about someone that's on his old team. Two people that are actually on his old team. Three rookies this year. We'll say two and a half rookies. With Jet Lawrence and Hunter Lawrence. And then there's another guy there. Those are the two, and then we'll talk about the half here in a minute. Jet Lawrence, there's high expectations for him. There's people putting him as a championship favorite, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. being a rookie and being how stacked the field is. Maybe I'm off the wall for saying it's ridiculous, but we'll see. So Chris, talk about the man, the myth, the legend. I really like Jet for the most part, but at the same time, I'm hoping that someone puts a wheel in there and shows the young Aussie punk a little front wheel and taste of the cheap seats, just to rough them up a little bit, to say, hey, that you're not going to go 17-0 here.
Yeah, you know, watching his first outdoor season, that was just – it blew my mind. That kid's raw speed and talent was just out of this world, and props to that guy. You know, he earned it. You know, coming into Supercross, though, he's going to be humbled for sure. He's got a lot of fast guys coming back, and don't get me wrong, he's fast in Supercross, but he's coming to a whole different level, and he's definitely got his work cut out for him, that's for sure.
And a lot of guys that would rather just do Supercross instead of guys that are being forced to do some outdoors. I know not everybody, but he's about to run into some people that absolutely love the sport of Supercross and is actually they're a higher level than they are in the motocross stuff. So I really think that's going to come into play when it comes to Jet in the Supercross season. Branson, do you have anything to add about the generational talent here?
Yeah, as Chris was saying, unreal talent on a bike. You know, you can't ignore that. You don't go undefeated in the outdoors by luck. You know, it's skill, it's hard work, it's all of that. But I do agree, he's a good rider, but a little tired of hearing about him every weekend, winning and whatnot. Yeah, when you look back, Supercross, if he had any kind of downfalls, you could say, or some struggles, Supercross was definitely the one. It seemed like it kind of bit him more than outdoors. So I think it'll be a challenge for him, but I fully expect him to adapt and be the racer he is. I think he'll easily be top five at almost every round. I do think he'll have his struggles, but
he'll still be
up there.
I talk smack about him because he's so good. So don't take it the wrong way to the people listening and to you guys. I love Jet. Like I said, I'm getting tired of hearing about him all the time. But dang it, he puts in some good interviews and really fun interviews to listen to. So it's kind of, I understand why they're making him so involved into things. But let's move from Jet to his brother Hunter, which I thought he was going to race in outdoors. I really thought he was going to race 250 indoors and then move the 450 outdoors this year. But nope, a few months ago it came out that he's racing 450 indoors and out. What do you think of Hunter Lawrence, how he's going to do? I know there's a lot of people that think he's going to do really, really well, and I think he will for the most part, but I think he's going to have more troubles than Jet. Chris, what do you think about Hunter in his first year coming in here?
You know, to start that off, did you see his practice crash today in press?
I did. He's lucky.
Yeah, he got super lucky getting cross-threaded up that face.
I think that's too much confidence in your first press day, how that was.
I don't think it's so much overconfident. It's probably just thinking you're comfortable when you're not really fully prepared.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You know, and especially coming from 250 Supercross to 450, that 450 will bite you if you're not careful. I think he'll be fast. Definitely a top 10 guy for sure. He'll probably have his struggles in the beginning, but he'll probably figure it out. He's a very smart rider and he's very talented. Definitely top 10, and you know, just gotta wait and see how he does.
He might mix in for it. I think he'll be probably closer to 10, but close to that top five, and I think might be battling for podiums here and there, depending on the right track and how comfort level. Branson, do you have anything to add about Hunter?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, as you guys were saying. He's a good rider as well. do agree. I think he'll make a few more mistakes than Jet and kind of the other guys, you know, just rookie season and things bite you. You know, you can come in feeling prepared and whatnot, but never really know until you're there. I think top tens. I think his ceiling will be top five. I don't see him winning a race this year, to be honest, in Supercross. I don't
either.
And I do see a couple of his mistakes pushing him outside of the top 10 in the finishes, just not having the time to get back into the top 10. And again, hopefully the field will be pretty deep and should be good racing. But yeah, I think it'll be a good year for him. I hope he doesn't get injured or anything like that. I hope he can stay up and just build on it. It'd be cool to see the other Lawrence brother get talked about every now and again. But I like Hunter. I always have. Except when he's battling Christian, of course, in the 250 class.
So yeah.
No, I think it'll be a good year for him.
So those are our, I would call, rookie one, rookie two. And then here's our half. Justin Cooper, full-time this year, Star Racing Yamaha 450 class. I don't know if we don't need to go big in the detail on Justin if we don't want to. I really like Justin. I like his mindset. How he just likes to ride in motorcycles and stuff like that. He's never really in the news. He's just there. If you guys want to add anything on him, I really hope that he does really well this year. If you want to add anything, Chris, you can. If not, no big deal. I know he's not going to be a huge, he's not going to be a huge talking point this year, I don't think.
You know, watching him last year in the select Supercross rounds he did, he didn't seem super up to par, you know, but that also probably because he wasn't really super sucked into the series. Coming into a new year full time, you know, I feel like he's actually going to put his head down and try his hardest, you know, to be a top guy.
I think he's even worried about getting hurt either, because that's kind of where I think he did last year in the select rounds. I think he wanted to come ride, but I think he was also trying not to get hurt.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, like I said, I don't really see him as a title guy, but definitely somebody that's up there fighting for the top fives, or, you know, I don't really see him towards tens, you know, upper.
I say 5 to 10 range.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Probably average finish, probably seventh by the end of the season.
That's probably a good number around there.
Do you have anything to add about Justin Branson?
Yeah, I agree. I honestly see him finishing a little closer to 10th on average to 8th or 9th. I do think, though, he'll have a couple rounds where he kind of surprises us and squeaks in isn't the word, but I think he can get top fives for sure. But I think average, he'll be closer to that 10th place. There's just he did those select rounds last year, but he doesn't have the – he just, like you said, half rookie, so yeah. He has some stuff to learn yet. So, yeah, I'm thinking closer to 10th.
Yep, I'm right in there, but I do say that he might get it. I bet he gets a heat race win towards at some point this season. Just that really clicks in my head that because he's did that in the 250s. He won a lot of heat races. Not a bunch of mains, but he won a lot of heat races. So we'll see him in the heat races. I bet we talk about him more than in the mains. But I want to jump back to Jet and ask each one of you. We'll start with Chris. How many main events do you think Jet will win this season? I know it's kind of a tough question, but kind of give me what you think.
Main event wins.
I'll tell you mine. I think he gets five. I think that's the under, though. I think he gets five or over this season is what I think.
You know, 17 rounds is a really long season for these guys, especially in Supercross. You know, I feel like if he can stay healthy and stay consistent, I would say five is probably a good number for main event wins. Not really factoring in the triple crowns, but I'd definitely say that's a good range for him, you know, with all the raw talent and speed that's on the track, and it's a long season, that's for sure. So as long as he can stay upright and stay healthy, I'd definitely see him winning a few.
Perfect. Branson, what do you think?
I actually agree. That same number too. I had 5 popped in my head when you asked. But as you said, I'm thinking on the under, but I think max 7. I think he's in that 5 to 7 range.
Yeah, and I think to get 7, everything's going to have to go his way. He's going to have to stay healthy. He's going to have to stay off the ground. And he's going to have to get a little bit of luck with other people falling and stuff, I really do, to get that any more than 5. But, yeah, I think it'll be fun to watch him, though. It was really fun to watch him outdoors last year. But, yeah. So, now, you guys ready for the hard question? Who's going to win the title? I'm going to go Eli Tomac with not super amount of wins. I bet you he's going to be a podium guy through and through, maybe just off the podium. I think he wins it with consistency because there's just some guys in front of him that aren't known for consistency. I think Eli comes out, wins, goes at races outdoors, gives Jet hell, and then he rides off in the sunset. Let's start with Branson. Who do you think is going to win the title?
Oh, goodness. You could have went to Chris first on that one.
All right, so Chris, who do you think is going to win the title?
I kind of want to agree and say Tomac. Listening to the Pulp show, like Steve said, last year he wasn't really a main event winner guy, but he was consistent and he was being smart and not overriding everything and being safe. And that kept him up front. And him coming off that such a big injury, I feel like he's going to do the same thing. He might not have the raw speed like he's had. He's not going to be that bulldog Eli, but I definitely feel like he's going to be smart and he's going to come out swinging. He's hungry. So I definitely feel like he's going to be the title contender and probably the winner.
Awesome. Well, are you going to be the same, Branson, or are you going to go off on your own?
So I'm going to go off on my own and can't even call him a wild card because he's not. But I say Chase Sexton. And the reason I say that is because I haven't heard a lot of Eli hype lately. I'm a few shows back on
the Pulp. He hides in Colorado.
The Pulp Empire. He does hide in Colorado. You're right. But I'm a few shows behind on the old Pulp Network, so I don't know if completely up to date, but
they haven't said much.
I just worry he's a little cautious coming in, and how could you not be, with that Achilles injury? And he did nothing wrong when it happened, that just bad luck or whatever you want to call it. But I think some part of him is cautious, just scared's not the word. I don't think he's scared, but I think it might take him a little bit to get warmed up. And I think if Chase can come out swinging and be hot right away, he's had 2 or 3 title fights now. And yeah, the Supercross Championship last year went his way, but I just think Chase has been in it, and I think it'd be cool for him to put it together and win it. And I think he'll have a chip on his shoulder, just in the sense of the people that say he didn't deserve it last year. I think he comes in with a chip on his shoulder. So
I think the other shoulder has a chip on the shoulder to beat that number 18 on his old team. I really think I say Eli, but I think it's going to be a very close fight with Chase. I think it could go either way. That's my prediction starting now. So since we got that out of the way, we're going to kind of blitz through the 250 West Coast a little bit. I'm going to name a few that I went through the list and kind of pulled out some of the big name riders that are very well known that could win races. And I'll go through the list, and if you guys want to add anybody or talk about somebody in particular, let me know. But some of the big name riders is Max Voland, RJ Hampshire, Garrett Marchbanks, Joe Shimoda, Jordan Smith, Levi Kitchen, and Nate Thrasher. Chris, do you have anything to talk about any of those guys?
RJ, being the older vet in the 250 class, he's definitely got his work cut out for him. A lot of these faster, younger kids coming in, but I feel like if he can keep his head down and not pull his RJ moves and stay off the ground, he can definitely be a title contender for sure. And then another one I want to mention is Maximus. You know, last year on the KTM, he didn't make a couple of main events, and that was kind of a deal breaker. You know, so I guess we'll see with him going to a new team and a new program. We'll see if something changes for him.
Yeah, Maximus, I really hope, does really well. He deserves it, coming from a good family and stuff. But kind of, I'm going to branch off of the RJ thing. RJ's going to RJ for sure. He's going to be this fast guy on the track. He's going to tip over. He's going to have some wishy-washy races. But I think this is his championship to lose.
Absolutely.
I agree with that.
Yeah, it's going to be him and Joe Shimoda. But I think Joe's going to do something really outdoors. I don't see him. He's just struggled indoors. But new year, new bike, new team. I really think Joe will do well too. But this is RJ's time to win his title and to get ready to go to the 450 class. Is there anything you want to add, Branson, to any of those guys?
Yeah, you were just talking about Joe. I do see a step up for him from PC. I do. Just in his consistency. I don't know if he'll go out there and win the title, but I do think his consistency will improve. I'm hoping, because he's a fun rider to watch, and it'd be cool to see him do good. But as you guys said on RJ, I think it's his championship to lose. I think he has the most one of the guys with the most experience. Jordan Smith's kind of up there too, but he's fast, and there's going to be pressure, don't get me wrong, but I think if he can keep it together and kind of realize he's the one to beat, that I think he can get it done. Another name I want to mention, because Ryder D is racing West Coast, correct?
Yep, he's on our next thing to talk about here. Let's hold off on him real quick. But I want to mention one thing about what you said about Joe going away from Pro Circuit Monster Energy Kawasaki, going to Factory Honda. I think Maximus Volland and Levi Kitchen make a jump on that Monster Energy Kawasaki. I really think they're going to do better and be more consistent with some change and stuff. But it's funny, you said that Joe's going to be more consistent. You think Joe might be more consistent, but I'm going to say I think he will too. But I think these two other riders going to that, to his old team, are going to be more consistent and going to be right there with him.
I agree with you on that too. I actually kind of forgot about Levi. I'm a Levi fan. I think it's cool.
Kitch.
Because he's from Washington, you know, and it's somewhat close to Montana in a sense. So it's cool to root for him, and he just seems like a good kid. I think the STAR program wasn't great for him. You know, it's kind of that dog eat dog out there, and you're racing every day of the week, and then you got to go race on the weekends. And for him, it just seems like it didn't quite fit that mold. And they've had a lot of success over there at STAR, don't get me wrong, but I think Levi takes a step up with PC, Pro Circuit Kawasaki as well. And I see the same for Maximus, but as Chris said, it'll be interesting to see. He didn't make a couple mains last year, and does a new bike fix that, if it's mental or what? I do see him being better, but I see him around that fifth place range. So,
and kind of going off of the new bike thing you're talking about, you know, Joe, he's going back to the Honda, and he was on the Honda for a couple of years before he went to PC, and he was all right. You know, he's kind of got some of those weirdo rides, and I feel like he's probably going to come on kind of late. Watching him over in Paris, though, he was really fast and, you know, came out the Prince of Paris or whatever. But, you know, as long as he can stay consistent, he might be a front runner for sure. And then Levi, again, you know, a bunch of weirdo rides. And if he doesn't get a good start, he's kind of a mid-pack guy and he can't seem to get out of that rut. So I guess we'll see how the new bike, you know, pars up with him and see if he can get consistent starts and stay out front.
Yeah, cool. I agree with that.
Yep, I agree too.
I feel like Levi and Justin Cooper are similar in the sense that they get that start, they can win the dang race, but they get a 10th place start, they don't really move up. So, it'll be interesting to see, and granted, that's been more focused on outdoors, not trying to switch it, you know, but I see those two riders kind of similar. So
we talked about those guys. There's a couple. I have some vets that I want to. One of them's a vet. He's right on the verge, but I wanted him. I don't think he's one of the top riders, but I want to just mention a couple guys. Phil Nicoletti. He's definitely a vet, but the one that I can't put him in the vet, can't put him in the new guys, Carson Mumford, he switched teams this year too. I think that will be good for him. Mitchell Oldenburg. And then this one brings back memories. I don't know if you've heard about this guy or not, or if you remember him, Billy Lavinovich. That is going to be super cool. He is almost 40 years old. He's going to come out and race Supercross 250 West Coast. Super cool. He's riding for Team Faith. I saw something on Instagram a long time ago when he was first starting. I was like, no way. This has to be fake. And sure enough, it's real. Old guy definitely turning into coming back to race. And I think that'll be really cool to see.
I feel like he's definitely going to have something to show these younger guys, that's for sure.
Or they're going to show him something.
I don't know, man. Billy used to throw down back in the day, and if him, you know, I don't know if it's just the courage thing or what, but for him to come back and, you know, race at this high of a level at that age, you know, that's dedication. And you know, I definitely feel like he's not going to be a top guy, but he's definitely going to be throwing a wrench into the mix.
I bet you he's right around that top 10 range, just throwing it in there. I don't think he'll be top 10 every time, but I think his upper range is probably 7th and his average is 10th. But then I think his worst is if he doesn't get a start and he couldn't make the main in one because of a bike malfunction, being a smaller team, or just bad starts, just dusting the cobwebs off. Branson, yeah. Do you have anything to add about any of those guys, or do you want to move on to what you wanted to talk about here a second ago?
Yeah, just real quick. So I'm a little younger than you two. I don't quite remember Billy Lavinovich in his first go around.
Lavinovich.
Oh, Lavinovich, yep. Sorry about that.
You're fired.
I know. I'm terrible. I don't remember watching him at all first go around, but I think it's cool. You know, it's a cool story. I see him, yeah, around that 10th place range. I don't think he sets the world on fire by any means. Phil Nicoletti, love that guy. You know, how can you not? Just his attitude. And
always so happy. The whole,
always so happy, yep. Just a ray of sunshine. But no, I just think there are more guys that can add to the mix and throw a wrench into some people's plans, so it'll be good to see.
Perfect. Well, let's move on to I don't want to go deep dive into a lot of these guys, but there are some of them that I want to dive into, and you talked about one rookie this year, never has not raced Supercross yet. Branson was talking about Ryder D.
Yes, I'm excited. I didn't really fancy myself a Ryder D fan. I didn't dislike him by any means. I just didn't know much about him. But I'm excited for him. I think the team switch was good. Just he was on Kawasaki for so long, you know. So
it was weird that they team switched before he actually had his quote-unquote pro debut. It's super weird.
That I agree. But his path has been kind of weird. You know, he raced Supercross Futures.
Won it.
He did outdoors, a select few rounds of outdoors, and I believe he got hurt and was back in future. It's kind of a strange path, but I'm excited to see what he does.
And he's riding on the Troy Lee Designs Factory Gas team, just to let people know.
Yep. I don't know if he takes a huge jump necessarily. I'd like to see it, but change of scenery, we've seen it, you know, with Tomac, the change of scenery is good. So hopefully maybe it'll be good for him too.
I think he's going to get a podium. Ryder D. Yeah. I feel like Ryder D is probably going to be that top 10 guy for sure. You know, seeing him come up from amateurs and then him doing Supercross Futures the last few years, it was almost unfair for everybody else. That kid is so damn fast. you know, and watching his team intro for Gas, he's definitely in a good environment. He's got a good team behind him, and I feel like he's definitely going to click with them. He's going to make some progress this year.
I'm really excited for him. I think that's a good team to be on. It sounds like Justin Barsha's around more, too, to help those young guys. I think he can teach a lot to these young guys, for sure. Anything else to add about Ryder D before we move on?
Yeah, I definitely feel like comparing him to his teammate Carson, you know, I feel like Ryder's definitely going to be probably a little faster, a little bit more consistent.
Absolutely, I agree with that. I think he's going to be the top finishing 250 rider on the team, points finish wise. But I just want to move on to a couple more rookies. I don't know if you guys will know some of these guys or not. Matty Jorgensen, he did really well in Loretta's 2 years ago. This past Loretta's didn't do super well. Lux Turner is another rookie. I don't know much about Lux. I just know that I just know him from some of the amateur scene because I watched Loretta's from front to back, all the big bike classes anyways. And then Julian Boumer from Lake Havasu, Arizona. I think I'm really excited to see what this kid could do. It's either he's going to win, he's either going to do really well, or he's going to really struggle. Just because he used to race professional jet skis. He just hasn't been around the scene as much, as long as some of these other guys. That's why I say he's either going to do really well, or he's going to really struggle because of the lack of experience.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, sorry. I just watched him in Futures. He was pretty good, and it seems like that switch to KTM and that Orange Brigade amateur team was good for him. And yeah, with you, Brandon, I don't know if he does great. I don't know if he does terrible. It'll just be a learning year. I think he'll show flashes of brilliance. I think he could potentially be close to the top five or start in the top five on a couple races and fade back, but it'll be a good learning year for him.
Cool. What do you think, Chris? Chris? Did we lose him?
Yeah, no, I'm still here. Sorry, I was getting attacked by the dog. The first two guys you mentioned, I don't know them. I don't know their names. I don't really pay attention to amateurs. I'll catch clips on net here and then on Instagram or something, but Juju, that kid's definitely looking fast, and he's, you know, he'd definitely be one of the top kids if he can stay up there with everybody. And you know, he's definitely got the talent and the speed.
Yep. So I think we're all in kind of agreement there that we're not sure what he's going to do. So here's a tough question again. I think this one I don't think is as tough as the last time. Chris, who do you think is going to win this title?
250 West?
250 West, yep.
You know, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say RJ.
Out on a limb, huh?
Out on a limb. The old guy's going to come back and get it.
All right. Branson, what do you think?
I'm going to say RJ as well, but I think Jordan Smith will be in the mix. I see Jordan Smith making a few more mistakes than RJ that are going to cost him.
Yeah.
So I think RJ is going to win too, but I'm not going to say that. I say he takes second place, and I say first place is you're going to see Joe Shimoda, just to be different, even though I want the other to happen because I love RJ, but just to be different, I'll say Joe Shimoda. But one last question here. Who's going to win A1, Chris, for the 450 class? We'll just do 450 for today.
I'm actually going to go off my picks right now, so watching qualifying tomorrow can definitely change. But I've got Tomac for the win tomorrow. Jet second, Sexton third. But like I said, that's just my picks right now, but we'll see what happens after qualifying tomorrow. That might change.
Cool. Branson?
As Chris said, after watching qualifying, it might change for me too. I don't want it to happen. Just, again, I'm always hearing and talking about him, but I think Jet comes out and kind of shocks, but does, is it going to be a shock? You know, but I think Jet comes out and wins.
How about second, third?
Ooh, I'm thinking Sexton second, Tomac third.
So, you ready for this one, boys? I should put some money on this one. Third
Let me
place.
Guess, Chase Sexton.
Oh, no. I say Chase Sexton going to take third place. I think he's going to round out the podium in third. I have Jet in fourth, but because I'm not going to have him in my top three. Second place, I think, is going to be Eli. But my winner, Kickstart Kenny. Saying it now, he did it last
year.
He's been riding and racing a lot more. I think he's going to come out tomorrow. Even if he doesn't qualify well, as long as he's semi-close, I think he wins tomorrow. And we see a yellow Suzuki with a red background going into round two.
You might be onto something.
Yeah, I think you're just saying that because you own a Suzuki.
I do, but I have to, I told you, I go to people that I ride the same bikes as. See, I went, but no, Kickstart Kenny, buddy, I feel it. I should bet some people this.
You can't go wrong with Kenny. He's won Anaheim before. I don't know if it's been multiple times, but he won before. He's owned a Suzuki too, so I definitely gravitate towards Kenny.
See, this is why Chris and I are friends. We ride the same color bikes. Hey, you're more than friends now, Branson. I have to call you a family now.
You're stuck with me now.
Yeah, you bleed blue inside. Don't you forget it.
That is true.
Well, I know I'm gonna post the schedule up on my Instagram for everybody to see and stuff like that. It shows the TV schedule and stuff. We're running a little bit long here. I told you guys. Right around a half hour, we're almost at the hour mark. I'm sorry for keeping you guys too late. I just want to finish by thanking my sponsors to help this make this happen. Brothers Billiards and then Floors by Design. Both of those are owned by Todd Crum. Really, that guy is huge in the billiards thing. One of my other hobbies, but he stepped up and sponsored the podcast. Calgary Creativity with Julia. She's done some logos and stuff for me. Everything's gonna look better. She's gonna make some banners for me. Both you guys, I'm pretty sure, know Julia through the cross country scene back a few years ago. And then Yellowstone Valley Trailer Sales, the Elwells, they've come about and they sponsor the podcast also. And then I have some other sponsors coming up pretty soon. And I have some stuff to talk to you guys about as well with another sponsor I'm in contact with. I really appreciate you two doing this tonight. I hope we can do it again, talk about Supercross again, but I do want to get you guys on again individually, and we'll talk about how we met, what you guys do, and why you like the sport of Supercross, motocross, and just dirt bikes as a whole. So I really appreciate you guys. So you guys have a good one, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you too. Looks like we lost Chris, but thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And yeah, I'd like to do this again, and maybe I'll be able to speak a little better and
I think we all did great. It's different with three people, I really appreciate you coming on too, making time. So, and Chris too, I really appreciate him coming on too. And we'll do another one soon. Until next time, we'll see you later, man.
Yes, sir. See ya.
Awesome. Thanks everybody for listening. Ended that with Branson and Chris. I really appreciate those guys coming on. I know this is a little bit longer. The Supercross reviews I'll probably do by myself here. It will be a lot better. We'll do it again and a little shorter. So until next time.